Last year's shooting at a school in Newtown, Connecticut, brought new focus to the issue of gun violence. Reporter Pat Schellenbarger examined guns in Michigan for a series of stories for Bridge Magazine.
So much of the debate now, as a result of Newtown and the shootings in the theater in Aurora, Colorado, has been about assault weapons, assault rifles, because that's what was used. And that's a legitimate debate. But it's important to note that the vast majority of firearm deaths are with handguns.
Pat Schellenbarger's stories for the online news service of the Center for Michigan consider several aspects of firearms in the state.
You say there's a number of questions that you wanted to get at in this series. Let me ask you one of them. How pervasive is gun violence in Michigan?
Well, it's all too common. You know, one of the most interesting bits of information I came up with is that you're more likely to die from a bullet in Michigan than you are in a motor vehicle accident. Partly that's because cars, motor vehicles, and highways have become safer, so that the rate of motor vehicle deaths have been declining in recent years. But for the past 3 years or so in Michigan, there have actually been more people dying from firearms, and that includes homicide, suicide, accidental shootings than from automobile or motor vehicle accidents.
And that was not the case, say, 15 years ago?
No, 15 years ago, there were many more people dying on the highways than from guns. And in fact, the rates of firearm deaths, that is, homicides and suicides, have actually been declining in recent years in Michigan, too. But yet not at nearly the rate of, you know, cars are safer now. We have airbags. You know, they're made better. And there has been an argument made by some who say we're approaching this issue wrong. We shouldn't be talking about gun control versus gun rights, but firearm safety. You know, finding ways to make firearms safer and emphasizing things like locking up weapons, that sort of thing, so that we have fewer of these cases.
Public education campaigns and those sort of things.
Yeah, and that might also involve some sort of restrictions on gun ownership that we don't have now. And what seems to happen quite often, in cases of homicide, because a gun is readily available, someone gets into an argument, it escalates, they reach for a firearm, and someone ends up dead. Whereas if the gun were not so readily available, and the same really with suicide too, if someone is having some suicidal thoughts and a gun is readily at hand, maybe they'll use it. But if it wasn't so readily available, maybe they would have time to kind of calm down and think about it and not actually commit that act.
You take a look at the case of Roderick Dantzler. People may remember that he went on a shooting spree in Grand Rapids in 2011. Killed 8 people, including himself.
Right.
The question that's asked in your story is, how did Dantzler, who was a convicted felon, get his hands on a gun? Almost two years after he went on that shooting spree, do we have an answer?
Well, yeah, we have at least a partial answer. He could not legally purchase a gun because he had a felony record, yet he seemed to have no trouble getting a hold of a 9mm Glock semi-automatic handgun. It turned out that gun had been stolen a couple of years before this mass murder. It was reported missing from a home in Grand Rapids, or near Grand Rapids, and the person who owned that gun had legally purchased it.
Schellenbarger says that a man has been indicted in connection with possession of the firearm. He says a series of transactions likely led to it ending up with Roderick Dantzler.
I can say that virtually every gun used in crimes in Michigan or in the rest of the country originally was purchased legally, but then ends up on the black market. It could be through theft. There are many guns that are stolen in thefts of burglaries of homes, sometimes from gun dealers. Maybe someone purchased it legally or apparently legally as a straw purchase where they're buying it under their own name, but then intending to resell it or give it to someone who couldn't legally purchase it.
And one of your other stories tells us about a gun shop in West Olive, which is in Ottawa County. Does this help explain how some of these guns end up on the black market?
Well, it does. The latest break-in there, I believe, was in January, and there were, I think, 30 handguns and a couple of long guns stolen. And it was clear that whoever broke in, they were after the handguns. It had happened five, maybe even six times in the last several years at that same shop. Now, the last time it happened, that was April 2006, more than 60 firearms were stolen. And according to the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department, more than half of those turned up later in Detroit and Saginaw on the east side of the state and were used in crimes or confiscated, maybe in drug house raids, things like that. And the fear is that the guns taken in the latest break-in will also end up in the wrong hands.
Pat Schellenbarger is a freelance writer. Links to his stories for Bridge Magazine on guns in Michigan can be found at WMUK.org. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.